getting better.
Why you should be worried about the silencing of whistleblowers in government agencies. Comprende Española? If you can speak Spanish, you get a free pizza in Dallas. Oh, my. And a flight has to be diverted after a passenger says she has a surgically implanted bomb. But we start with the bane of the existence of the Obama people. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The battle over Bain. Everybody is throwing their 2 cents in on Mitt Romney's firm, Bain Capital, and what Bain Capital did or didn't do. And as an equity firm, well, how could he possibly understand the middle class is pretty much what Obama is zeroing in on. The fact that he didn't create jobs, he was a job destroyer. Look at this plant in Indiana. Of course, not showing the other side of it, the jobs that were created. It matters not. I don't think Bain is what keeps us up at night. Vice President Joe Biden says he disagrees with those who think that the Democrats should get away from Bain. He says not so fast.
He's talking about he's better qualified to be president because of his business experience. So look, he raised it. So let's take a look at his business experience as straightforwardly and as fairly as can be done.
All right, so what do you think? Is Bain fair game? Do we care? I think most of you don't give a hoot about that. But do you care about business acumen when it comes to a president? We go back to what are the 5 things that you think somebody needs to have in their toolbox to even have a shot at being a decent president? What are the 5 things that you think make somebody qualified to be the commander-in-chief? Is one of them a business mind? Does the commander-in-chief have to have a strong grasp of economics? See, I would put it that way. I think that somebody who takes over the reins of the presidency has to really push that balanced budget approach, really have to look at dollars and cents, because we're a capitalistic society. We operate and thrive on capitalism. Unless we become a socialist society, we are miles apart on what's going on with the deficit, with the threats of recession, with the arguments over the 1% and the others, with the haves and the have-nots, with everything to do with how we survive and thrive, unless we completely change our school of thought and the way we live in these United States. We're a democracy that thrives on capitalism. 90% of what would be termed a small business is what makes the economy churn and burn. Now, small business can be 500 people or less, but the small businesses getting squeezed is sucking the life out of our way of life. That's what I think. So I would say that a strong grasp of economics would be important to me in any president. In any president in the future, going down the line, anybody. Somebody who can put the right money men around them, too, not just leftover guys from Goldman Sachs, not just Wall Street types that come in and they owe taxes, for goodness sake. That's an unveiled reference to Tiny Tim Geithner, by the way. So Bain, sure, Bain could be fair game, but if I were a Democratic strategist, I wouldn't go there. Why bother? They've already done it. They've already danced on the Bain grave. It didn't work for Newt Gingrich. I don't necessarily think it's going to work for the Democrats. I don't know that people that would be on the fence about voting for Obama would be pushed over the other side because they hear whatever stuff about Bain comes out in commercials, or what the president says about Bain, or what the vice president says about Bain, and what they have to say about Mitt Romney's economic experience. If I were a strategist playing for the Democrats. It's just, I don't know that that's a win strategy. In fact, I know it's not a win strategy. So that's the reason I would just leave Boehner out of the whole thing, because I don't think that's going to necessarily get him any votes, at least votes from people who haven't voted for him before. 2012, we always end up going back to it, don't we? Of course we do. All right, this was a huge story. It's a huge story about noon, probably, for some of you. Maybe it was earlier in the morning on West Coast time, if you're on that kind of a clock. But you hear that a plane had to be diverted because a woman says, passes a note to a flight attendant that she's got a bomb, that she's got a bomb surgically implanted. Nice. What is that flight attendant? What is flipping through her mind as that's happening? Here's the thing. This flight was from Paris. It was a U.S. Air flight. It was going from Paris to North Carolina. It didn't make it to North Carolina. They had to divert the flight. They had to land in Bangor, Maine instead. Two F-15 fighters scrambled to escort flight 787 with 179 passengers and nine crew types to the Bangor International Airport, where it landed just after noon on Tuesday. A passenger was described as unruly, removed from the plane. They taxied to a remote part of the airport, and the plane, luckily, was about 40 minutes from Bangor when they alerted the people in the tower, when they told the people in Bangor at the airport that needed to know what was happening. So once they secured the plane, then everybody was allowed back on the plane 3.5 hours later, and then they were off to North Carolina. But imagine having a seat to that, because you see the planes in the air. You see when you get off the plane, state, local, federal people, officers, when you land, and they were dealing with the passenger who said she had a bomb surgically implanted. How scary is that? I mean, now it's more about who's cuckoo, who's real, who's trying to make a name for themselves in a very, very bad way. I don't know. We don't really know the outcome of what the deal is with her, although she didn't have any kind of scars, is what was said. She had no kind of scars. So it's the first large U.S. airport for the Bangor airport. They are very used to dealing with diverted flights, right? The first large U.S. airport for European flights and the last U.S. airport for outgoing flights with uncluttered skies, you could say. And they've got a big runway there, because if you're thinking, why Bangor, Maine? Why would they land there? And a lot of it is because of the runway. So they use that airport when there's mechanical problems, emergencies, or if you have a passenger who's been described as unruly. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk about whistleblowers during this hour. Well, whistleblowers who are shut down or silenced for fear of losing their job. Because if you complain about somebody spending money, think about it, then they can cut off the valve for everybody else who's having a good time, so they just conveniently come up with a way to get rid of you. Oh, how sad is that? Much more to come, so stick with us here on America Tonight.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Here on America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. If you've never heard the show before, we're going to play a little game for fun. In case you missed it, you might not have heard hour one of the show. If you missed it, each and every week on Tuesdays, we have our friend Stephen Shohead on the show. He wrote a book about Hollywood, Hollywood stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. He's a great storyteller. In fact, if you go to Los Angeles, he takes tours. And I've never met anyone who knows as much about Hollywood in the fun, cool history sense, not the gossipy TMZ crap of going through someone's garbage and all the nonsense I could care less about celebrities, but just the really interesting stuff. It's Stephen Shohead. So we were talking about Sherlock Holmes. Who's your favorite detective? And Sherlock Holmes would make a lot of people's lists. So much so that there have been 211 movies about Sherlock Holmes. The BBC has a new series that's on that's very, very popular, just starting. It's a new series, and people can't get enough of this series. So we just had the last holidays where you might have gone to see Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr., who played Sherlock Holmes. You might have gone to the movies to see that latest edition of Sherlock Holmes. And a lot of actors have played the part, but there's 75, but I have five in mind who played the part, I think, the best. If you can come up with five, and it's easy to Google it and look it up, that are close, pretty close to mine, if you're the closest person in, then you will win a copy of the last two Robert Downey Jr. movies where he portrayed Sherlock Holmes. And, you know, I didn't see the first one. It didn't look that good to me, the clips, but the janitor, the fixer of the show, Matt Johnson, tells me, I really missed the boat, that was the better one. He said the script was better. So I myself am going to watch the first Sherlock Holmes. But if your list resembles mine, then you'll win those two movies. But here's the thing. You've got to go to the website, and you got to get Press 4. It doesn't matter what kind of phone you have. I don't care if you have a crappy, hanging off the end of the line, barely, it's starting to fall apart phone. It doesn't matter. You don't have to just have an iPhone. You don't have to have an Android. If you have those, yes, it's great. It's easy. But you can have any kind of phone to get Press 4, because I want you to be able to communicate with the show even bigger and badder. So if you get Press 4 and then you just tell me your five. So you can even look up five of them. Tell me your five and you could be the winner. You could be the winner. And it's only for this show. Only for this show. Just go to press4.com or go to the website americatonight.net. All right, it doesn't take a detective to realize that something was definitely amiss with the plane where the passenger announced that she had a surgically implanted device. Now, I said what was going through the mind of the flight attendant who got that note passed to her from the woman, and this was a plane that was going from Paris to North Carolina that had to be diverted to Maine, almost 1,000 miles difference between those two spots. So if you're the flight attendant, I guess you think you have to think to yourself, well, why hand the note? I don't know. Why? If you're trying to think positively, why hand the note? Why not just blow up the plane? So maybe we just have a nut on our hands and we're going to move on this. So I'll tell the captain, we'll make sure that she's secured and we'll call in the right people. Boom. The F-15 fighters are up in the air. They pull the plane in. It lands. The people were probably a little freaked out, but everybody was there. I mean, it looked like a scene from a movie. You had 35 squad cars, FBI people. I mean, it was just surrounded the plane the second that they landed in Maine. Once it went down, was on the back of the runway, boom, that was it. And then they eventually get back on the plane and go to North Carolina. But it's not about getting back on the plane. It's about what are you thinking when that's happening? What are you thinking when you see, well, you know that you're making this landing and you see, I'm sure, a tell sign on the flight attendant and you know that, you know, this is messed up. This is messed up. Are you jumping for the phone, making calls? You know, what are you doing in that moment? And boy, I'll tell you what, that woman is going to pay dearly for what she did. Probably away for life. Probably away for life. I mean, somebody said to me, you know, this could be a test run. This could be just strictly a test run. She could say whatever she wants, but this would be a way to test how quickly the response is. Now, see, and this is the thing. She's in Paris, gets on the plane to go to North Carolina. What do we say about these one-way deals? No luggage. She had no luggage. A one-way deal. So nobody has any belongings after being in Paris and getting on a plane. How rare is that? I guarantee every single one of the other people on that plane had stuff with them, probably too much crap with them. I don't, even if it's a business person, they're lugging something with them. They had to be. Would have to be. I don't think that they're just getting on the plane with nothing. Private security. I'll say it again. My answer to what the problem is with screaming is private security. You know, I was mentioning detectives, Sherlock Holmes. You need some good detectives, ex-cops, people who know what they're really, truly looking for. I'm sorry, profiling, looking at the people and how they react, the tell signs to know if something's wrong, if it looks like something's happening here. People always praise El Al and what goes on in Israel. because they live with the fear of bombs. They have missiles pointed at them. So El Al, of course, they're vigilant in Israel. It's also smaller compared to the amount of airports that you come into the United States. And then coming from Paris, I mean, please. Please. It's about time to get real. And if these suicide bombers are making some kind of a test run, I mean, here's the hint. How do we need to be hit on the head with it? Do we need a plane to blow up to know that how are you going to stop a jihadist nutball from making anybody who gets on a plane looking, feeling like they have to look over their shoulder a couple of times and looking to see if something just seems wrong? So there's no scar. So where was the bomb? And where do you think they put bombs? What is the trick of where they could put a bomb? A human bomb. Luckily, if this was some kind of a weird test run, if she's just completely nuts, if whatever it is happened here, this is it. She's done because nobody knows the name, no mention of her name, none of that. Nobody knows many of the details about the woman who was the person who passed the note to the flight attendant. So was this a case of looking to see where the potential holes could be, and was this some kind of a strange dry run? Was there something, you know, was there something here that she was looking, or they were doing some homework with to see how fast it would be reported, or, you know, whatever. But I think the tell signs were definitely there. And I'm wondering how many people will be a little freaked out about this the next time that they fly with the thing that we found out from the CIA about underwear bombs being perfected and having a tough time tracing them through TSA, then the passenger with the implanted device, saying they have a surgically implanted device. I think it's a little scary. I think so. And I think that it is a big, fat warning sign that we can never be 100% sure. We can never be 100% sure. Luckily, we uncovered all that intelligence that Al-Qaeda was seeking to surgically implant bombs inside people. Remember? In England, they were reporting that as well. So the FBI has said that. In England, they've said that as well. I think we'd be smart to really get the best devices that we can to detect that. And I believe that as people who were former detectives in another life to be on the front lines, that's our best line of defense if we're talking about human skills. Send me your thoughts on that, AmericaTonight.net. We're talking whistleblowers next.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your lake will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Lipstick, junky, defunct. Boy, how often do we talk about this on America Tonight? We can make a long list. In fact, we're going to do that of all-time really brave whistleblowers who were the face of change in this country. So why are we going after federally? Why is the government going after whistleblowers? Dan Epstein, who's becoming a regular here on America Tonight, knows all about this. In fact, he's done a little piece on this, and he's the executive director of Cause for Action. That's one of our favorite government accountability groups, right? Keeping them honest, holding their feet to the fire, so we like it. And as Dan said, he wrote in Roll Call about all these challenges and threats that are facing federal employees who feel like they need to blow the whistle to expose waste and fraud in the government. We've talked about this. I told you about my friend who worked for the IRS and what she said as far as the layers of repetition and if they would just do an audit. Boy, they hushed her up quickly. Dan, thanks for coming on the show as always.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So what lately, and you and I have talked about this a little bit before, but what lately has really tripped the switch for you with whistleblowers?
Well, you know, this op-ed came out today in Roll Call about, you know, cause of actions, investigation into what this administration has been doing in terms of protecting whistleblowers. We asked the Office of Special Counsel to investigate whether GSA Administrator Jeff Neely retaliated against employees who sought to blow the whistle on waste, fraud, and abuse. And we also asked the Office of Government Ethics to investigate. But what is most surprising to me and to people working on Capitol Hill is that there was a conference this Monday by a group that was started by former ACORN, and that is the politically left organizing group. Some former ACORN employees joined together with some left-wing plaintiff lawyers, as well as some former minority members of the USDA. And they held a whistleblower conference on Monday. Actually, it's still going on. And I was invited to the conference as the kind of token conservative. But what was amazing to me is you had, minorities, women, people who were former government employees who basically were holding out signs saying that Obama has waged a war against whistleblowers. It was essentially eye-opening to me that you had these people go before the Senate Judiciary Committee to have their voices heard about how this is an administration that has been severely harmful towards the rights of whistleblowers, and not just cases of racial or sexual discrimination, but individuals who have been unemployed for 18 years or longer because they essentially went up to people in charge of agencies and said, hey, I know that you guys have federal employees misspending tax dollars on purchase cards. You guys are buying wasteful items, all these sorts of things. And these federal employees have been fired for essentially doing what most American taxpayers would hope their taxpayer-funded government employees would be doing, which is trying to make government more accountable and efficient.
Yeah, and if there is a fear of doing that, then just imagine everything will stay as is. And when people see what's happening, money being spent, for example, in the wrong direction, whatever it is, whatever the fraud is, whatever the waste is, then we'll never know about it. I mean, how are you ever going to uncover anything? Somebody has to say something. That's usually the squeaky wheel thing, and that's usually when there's some sort of action. It's very surprising when you look at what President Obama ran on in 2008, that whole thing about transparency and whatnot. This definitely, don't you think this goes against the grain of transparency?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I addressed this group and explained, look, you know, President Obama's virtual first act in office was he wanted to have all these federal political appointees sign an ethics pledge. And then we, of course, see that Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, all these other all these officials in the administration signed waivers. They basically were given waivers from the ethics pledge. So, you know, the ethics pledge was completely empty from the standpoint of Obama actually being serious of having an accountable government. And I think that this, you know, generally reflects that the president is really not concerned with having his agency get more effective. In fact, you know, if you look at some of the, you know, whistleblower complaints, ultimately, let's say for those few federal employees who blow the whistle on waste, fraud, or abuse and actually, you know, get retaliated against and can sue the agency, you know, it's not just the waste of taxpayer dollars that happens when you have federal employees taking purchase cards and buying wasteful items with it. You know, it's also the fact that our taxpayer dollars have to go to defending the government when they get sued for these things. And so it's a double waste of funds. And, you know, I'm not surprised that President Obama doesn't care that the federal agencies are getting sued, because guess what? It's the plaintiff lawyers that helped them get elected that are representing most of these whistleblowers when it gets to litigation. So in his view, it's win-win. He either expands the government, spends more money that gets wasted and is not accounted for. And at the same time, if people want to, who get retaliated against want to bring litigation, you know, that's ultimately going to help his friends as well. So I think this is a president who has been, who has definitely not done enough, to protect whistleblowers. You know, this is a president who has a Office of Management and Budget director who's also in charge of inspections and evaluations for, the various inspector general offices. And, you know, we have not seen we haven't seen the government ethics, organization or the Office of Special Counsel be really aggressive in this administration about protecting ethics. I mean, I think for the most part, most Americans have no idea that there's an Office of Government Ethics and that the president himself has to be accountable to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And great examples of it, and you talk about it, what we've just recently seen, a couple of big things. What happened with the whole Vegas trip, the craziness of that and all the spending there. Somebody obviously uncovered that. The Secret Service agents in Colombia, somebody made a call, and that was also tilted. So if people weren't doing that, how would you possibly know? Because the government is so big, isn't it?
Yeah, no, and that's right. And I think, you know, this is a point you brought up earlier, and it's absolutely true, which is that, you know, if we don't protect whistleblowers, or at least, you know, allow for some kind of mechanism to expose fraud, you know, what's generally going to happen is that federal employees are going to just subscribe to a culture of fraud and be completely deterred from ever exposing any kind of waste, which ultimately is going to mean that the government's going to grow bigger and more opaque. And I think for a president who talks about transparency all the time, he's got to say something about whistleblowers. He's got to do something. And, you know, keep in mind, you know, this is truly a nonpartisan issue. The people who are organizing a whistleblower conference in Washington this week are all progressive, left-wing types. And yet they recognize that the main individual in Congress who's really been pushing for whistleblower protection is Susan Collins from Maine, who's a Republican. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for the president to say, you know, what his perspective is on whistleblowers. I mean, ultimately, if you're going to talk about ethics and transparency in government, you got to also talk about what the government's doing to protect those who are ultimately doing a good duty to show that there's waste in the government and it needs to be corrected. And I think Obama's silence on this issue is telling, you know, and it's only going to get worse. You know, every day that goes by where federal employees are not vindicated for expressing the truth about what waste is happening in our government is a day where ultimately we're going to have more federal employees who are deterred from ever coming clean about what's happening in our government. And, you know, I think that's unfair to the public who pays the salaries of the federal agencies, and also unfair to our general democracy.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you think this has become an epidemic at this point?
Oh, 100%. I had no idea the level of whistleblower complaints that get put into the government that gets, you know, and it's not even through the formal process of, you know, filing a complaint before the Merit Systems Protection Board or going through all the legal steps. You know, there's oftentimes when federal employees will just go to their supervisor and say, hey, I don't know if that cost was appropriate. Or they will go to an inspector general and say, hey, you know, I think that there may be something wrong going in our agencies. And so ultimately what happens is the second an agency head finds out that one of his employees has gone to an inspector general's office or anyone else, he terminates that employee. And, you know, I heard from numerous former federal employees who basically say that, you know, there's nothing they can do. You know, so long as, you know, they get fired and some agency head can say, oh yeah, I fired that person because, you know, they weren't performing at a certain level. They have the discretion to do that. And, it could be completely false. And, unfortunately, it's deferred to. And I think it is truly an epidemic because, the growth of government has gone on too long and, there are federal employees who come out of the woodwork for, you know, blowing the whistle and then ultimately get terminated and retaliated against, that just keep increasing. I mean, I can tell you that my experience both on the House Oversight Committee and, you know, working for a government accountability group, the amount of stories I see here in Washington about federal whistleblowers who are just increasing but not getting vindicated is astounding. And, it's ultimately only going to increase unless, you know, something's done. And it's not just a legislative step. It's truly a good government step. This president has to tell his federal agencies that those employees who blow the whistle on waste, fraud, and abuse are the best of the employees of the federal government, not the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Perfect way to end this. Dan Epstein, Executive Director of Cause of Action. Thanks so much once again for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Equipment changes come and go and are part of sports, but haven't always been so easily embraced by athletes. The battle of the pads in the National Football League tops the list. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, Kate Delaney.
Want to put some wild in your weekend? Come to the all-new Mesquite Pro Rodeo. Corral seats start at just $12, and kids are always half price. Get your tickets in Kroger stores and save $5. Come early for the famous Bubba Barbecue Dinner. The city ends and the Wild West begins at Air Conditioned Mesquite Arena, I-635 and Exit 4. It's 7:30 Friday and Saturday. This is the official rodeo of Texas.
NFL commish Roger Goodell got an earful after announcing that thigh and knee pads are going to be mandatory in 2013. For some players, it will be psychological as they feel they move faster without them. The players' union isn't happy. In tennis, the argument rages on about rackets going from wooden all the way to graphite in the 80s and with larger frames. Some athletes, like Martina Navratilova, who won 59 Grand Slams, played with both. She told me that she still thinks wood is the great equalizer. How about restrictor plates in auto racing? NASCAR instituted the use of them 2 decades ago to theoretically prevent crashing by slowing down the cars. But most drivers whine about the horsepower-zapping piece of equipment. As technology improves and the rules change, athletes will have to adapt or pay huge fines. That's Sports Shorts with me, Kate Delaney. Probably 15 shows if this were a sports talk show on equipment changes and what they've done to various sports. It goes along sometimes hand in hand with rule changes. And I mentioned a couple of big ones there, just trying to pick a few different sports, the wooden rackets versus what the technology is today. Restrictor plates, a lot of drivers don't like them, although at Talladega and whatnot, they know it slows them down versus what happened with Bobby Allison when the car flipped into the stands as he was going 210 miles an hour. That was like an 85, I want to say, and that really, really scared, I think, the people in auto racing, kind of shook them up that maybe we need to slow this down a little bit. So the restrictor plates always, always get a lot of conversation on racing shows across America. And certainly when people are out at the track, they talk about it as well. Whistleblowers was part of something that was talked about previously on America Tonight. So when you think of whistleblowers, I was thinking about this before our conversation actually with Dan Epstein, and boy, the list of people who have jumped out and really risked everything by being what I would call a big-time whistleblower. I mean, there's a couple you can think of right off the top of your head. If we go back to the early 2000s, remember a guy named Robert McLean? Does that name ring a bell with anybody? Well, he was the air marshal who exposed basically the TSA's plan to get rid of the air marshals from long distance flights for a couple of months in order to avoid expenditures that were associated with marshals staying in hotels overnight. No, we can't afford this. We'll risk it. So, and that was because of a budget shortfall because they overspent. And that infuriated the Department of Homeland Security. So the airline industry was put on notice, and they were talking about suicide hijacking plots where terrorists would be able to exploit exactly those loopholes. And there was a big outcry from a lot of people. And you forget this because it was so close to 9/11 in a way, you know, 2003, the senators who really complained were like Hillary Clinton. She was a senator then. Chuck Schumer always complains, but he complained too. And so they actually took the plan back before it happened. But Robert McLean was fired after they discovered, after the Department of Homeland Security, which would go to the government thing, after they discovered that he disclosed the plan. So He ended up taking the brunt of it. In other words, exactly as Dan Epstein has said, people get fired. And so then do they come forward or do they keep their mouth shut because they need their job? And that's a perfect, a prime example of what can happen when someone decides that they're going to say something. I'll tell you, one of the biggest sort of whistleblowers, I think she's a big-time gossip, but she got right in the middle of everything. If you remember what happened with Monica Lewinsky, people forget, how did that all get out there? How did anybody learn about the Clinton relationship with Lewinsky? And it was Linda Tripp. And she was the one who actually had pushed it out there. And she won a lawsuit against the government for violating the Privacy Act of 1974 when they leaked personal information about her to the press. So they were trying to take her down, and she won. She ended up winning that suit. Of course, there was a movie made about this, and 60 Minutes famously got into a huge mess over Jeffrey Wigand in 93, and that's Brown and Williamson. He was a former executive in that company who exposed what they were doing, intentionally manipulating the effect of nicotine in cigarettes. And he talked about it to 60 Minutes, and he blew the whistle on Big Tobacco and really almost single-handedly, you could say, revealed the dangers of smoking to all of the public, right? And there was that movie, the 99 movie called The Insider, which Russell Crowe, I thought, was brilliant in it, portraying Wigand and his life his life fell to ashes after he went through that for lots of reasons. One, he was making great money. He was making incredible money. And all of that went away, and his wife went away, and he was in the throes of a divorce, and 60 Minutes, as they outed him in a sense, and were willing to air the show, ended up pulling back on that famously, and what a nightmare that ended up being for CBS. And then there's another movie called Silkwood, if you remember, Meryl Streep was in it. Karen Silkwood was a union activist and was really more known for being that chemical technician at the Kerr-McGee nuclear plant in Oklahoma, near Crescent, Oklahoma, anyway. And she was mysteriously killed in a traffic accident. So, and see, whistleblowers, I guess, ultimately, if the story's sexy enough, they might lose their job and go through a living hell, but they stood up to the system, and then some of them end up becoming the subject of Hollywood movies. And, you know, we could list a lot more people that have stepped forward to say what really happened in a lot of different situations and put themselves in the throes of losing jobs and promotions and everything else. I think the one I like the best, though, was Colleen Rowley. I don't like it. I don't like her story the best, but I like the fact that she did come forward. She did talk about why things could have maybe been prevented on 9/11, of course, with the FBI. And this was in 2002. She talked about the FBI's slow response prior to September 11th, that they had dropped the ball and had information but didn't share it, and she was trying to get people to pay attention to it. And who knows if she would have stopped the attacks, but that information would have been there, and it wasn't. And nobody was paying attention to what she was trying to push forward, which is a common thing that was happening a lot in government and probably still happens today. So I think the whistleblower aspect is huge in government, that if somebody's not willing to say what they're seeing, that can lead to things like what we saw on 9/11, and that can lead to people dying. It can lead to a whole lot of problems, from health problems to other things. So it's so important that I think we do everything we can to preserve the rights to whistleblow, to say what you see, to not be afraid to step out of the shadows. And in the government, it is very, 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 very tough.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I appreciate your understanding. Don't think twice.
It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.